rise and respect the bell. I'm a little disoriented here. I've been working on our direct connection between Oregon football and Tennessee football for when Peyton Manning retires or is inducted into the Hall of Fame in a couple of years, which actually it is coming up pretty soon. And I've made that connection. I'm working on possibly a second one, so we'll have to get to that after the break. The Crunch Exchange, where I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports. Steve tells us if he's buying or selling. We begin with Dustin Pedroia, who had one hell of a career. At ASU, he beat out Ian Kinsler for the starting shortstop position and then hit 347 and started 185 games with the Sun Devils. He was taken one pick after Hunter Pence in the 2004 draft, had a fantastic career with the Red Sox, was the 07 rookie of the year, 08 MVP, four gold gloves, a silver slugger, two World Series titles. And fun fact, Pedroia beating out Ian Kinsler for that starting shortstop position at ASU, but it was Kinsler who was the starting second baseman for the Red Sox last October. Now, though, Pedroia is falling victim to Father Time, and at 35 years old, Pedroia has played nine games in the last two seasons. He's been moved to the 60-day DL with left knee irritation, and there's fear that he's going to end up missing two straight seasons now for Boston. Those nine games, Pedroia, three hits, one RBI. In the 0.97 he's hitting, actually has dropped his career average below 300, which is no small feat, seeing that Pedroia has 14 years of MLB experience. So being able to say that you're a 300 career hitter would really mean something. Pedroia, frustratingly close to being a Hall of Fame caliber player. Unfortunately, Father Time is undefeated, and when most athletes pass over that 33, 34-year-old plateau, they get hurt more often, and it takes longer and longer to come back. Red Sox owe Pedroia $25 million over the next 2 years to go along with the $15 he's getting on the DL this year. The prospectus, Pedroia's knee injury will cause him to retire.
I was looking at his numbers. You know, he's actually had a lot of injuries. He missed half of 2010. He missed 60 games in 2015. He missed 55 games in 2017. And as you mentioned, he's played just nine games. Now he's 36. Somebody said that they heard from one of the Boston writers that he heard the C word, which his problem is chronic, which means it's not going away. And so I got to tell you, I love Pedroia. Even though he's a Bo Sox, one of my favorite players, and he wasn't on the 04 team because I hate all of them. So I'm sadly going to buy that.
The Oakland A's are right back doing Oakland A's things. They're on a 10.5. They were on a 10.5 game winning streak that ended last night at the hands of the Los Angeles, California Angels of Anaheim. I say 10.5 games because right in the middle of that 10 game winning streak that the A's did have is a suspended game against the Tigers where the A's were leading 5-3 through 7 innings. Why that game wasn't just called, we'll probably never know. So at the start of the streak, the A's were 9.5 games back of the Astros and in dead last in the AL West. They're now 7.5 games back of the Astros, but more importantly, right back in the conversation for the postseason. It's classic Billy Beane finding diamonds in the rough, developing young talent that gets the team close to the postseason. Then after they fall short, they trade everyone away and start over again. Baseball Reference gives the A's a 62% chance of making the playoffs. They're tied with the Red Sox for the second wildcard spot in the American League with a 3-game lead over the Indians, who are 3-7 in their last 10, and the upstart Rangers, 6-4. In their last 10. Chris Davis is set to return from the DL soon and are going to somehow, the A's are going to have to somehow keep pace with the Red Sox over the next 4 months to do it. But the prospectus, the A's will make the postseason.
Man, they've got two guys I could just watch all day. Laureano, their center fielder, just gets it. And Matt Chapman and Nolan Arenado are like the Brooks Robinson and Mike Schmidt, just great third basemen. Man, am I suspicious of their starters and that rotation. They got decent bullpen. I'm really not enamored with this team. For now, I guess I'm going to go pending.
Oh, boy.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
It was a long. I also don't trust Trinan. They're closer. That was the guy I was trying to think about.
It was a long road, but you got there. The offseason Woj bombs are getting started early in the NBA. Today, Woj reported that Houston GM Daryl Morey is, quote, showing an aggressive desire to improve roster with all players and picks available in talks. So let's break this down, starting with the picks. The Rockets don't have many, basically. In 2020, they're getting an additional second rounder from Memphis. Woohoo! And in 2021, they're getting another second rounder from the Sixers. That's probably a pick in the 32 to 36 range, and then one of the last picks in the draft in 2021. There are a ton of conditions on these picks, but for the most part, they're useless. The players portion of this is where things get interesting. CP3 is 34 and has three more years on his contract, where his money goes up from $35 to $44 million a year. James Harden on a max deal through 2022 with a player option for the 22-23 season, when Harden will be 32, which is damn near the exact situation that CP3 was in when he signed his deal with the Rockets. Daryl Morey is a big-time analytics guy and probably is a little scared of the mountains of money being owed to CP3 and then the mountain of money that James Harden is going to ask for in 2022. If Morey is as big into analytics as he said, why wouldn't he take the Billy Beane approach and trade away his best assets while their value is maximized? Why not let someone like the Lakers, Pelicans, Knicks, Clippers, or any other team trade for Harden to win now and then let them deal with overpaying a 32-year-old $40-plus million a year for the next 4 years? Want picks and NBA-ready players? Harden's going to be able to do that a lot easier for you and faster than trading CP3 would, as hard it would be to trade away a potential MVP. The prospectus, Houston should trade James Harden.
Well, there's no possible way they could trade Paul. You mentioned it. And in the last 3 years, so he's missed 21, 24, and 24 games. He's balsa wood. If they think they have any chance to win and they need to make a trade, it's like by default, it's got to be Harden. So while I wouldn't do it, I think it might actually be the right move, so I'll buy that.
Nice. Patriots are looking under every rock and boulder they can to find someone who could possibly replace the polar bear in football pads that is Robert Paxton Gronkowski. Their first attempt was through formerly and briefly retired Benjamin Watson. Watson was played for four different teams over his 13-year NFL career and was planning on starting his second stint in New England this season. One problem, though, Watson was given a four-game suspension for pets. Watson did not go with the "I'm not sure how this got into my system and I'm going to go search for how it happened" lie when he was caught. Instead, he had a relatively honest explanation. Watson said that he retired and his doctor prescribed him testosterone to help heal his body after 13 years in the NFL. He wasn't planning on coming back, so he'd be able to take the substances that the NFL says you can't take, which makes sense if Watson truly was planning on retiring, seeing as he was actually signed only on May 10th. More cynical outlook would be that Watson was going to be suspended for four games and just retired to get out of the suspension. Then signed a deal to get back into the suspension. The prospectus, Benjamin Watson is telling the truth and his suspension should be reduced.
About PEDS? I'm not going to buy that. By the way, want to feel old? This, you probably don't remember him. The quarterback at Georgia was David Green, who he caught passes from in 2003. No, sell that. He's a liar.
Last one, Kawhi Leonard showed off to the world that he's one of the best two-way all-around players in the NBA. He made the Greek Freak look meek and damn near single-handedly took Toronto to their first ever conference title and the NBA Finals. Kawhi, being incredibly boring and not fun, has been incredibly successful in the NBA. Finals MVP, three-time All-Star, three-time All-NBA, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, five-time Defensive Team of the Year, and more. He's proven that he can win with a superstar like Tim Duncan, and he's now shown that he can win when he is the lone superstar. We think that Kawhi, an alleged normal human being with feelings and in no way a robot, would feel some sort of attachment to Toronto, leading them to these new highs. On the other hand, he probably drives a 2001 Honda Civic and just wants to live in Southern California. The prospectus, no matter what happens to Toronto in the final, Kawhi Leonard isn't re-signing in Toronto.
Ooh. I don't know if I believe that with Ujiri and that organization, if they were to win it, especially beating Golden State. I don't buy that just yet. I'm going to sell that.